Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to this 45th episode of Step Into the Light on this Valentine's Day, Tuesday morning, February 14th. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who lead others on their journey from darkness to light. As I just mentioned, today in the United States and a few other countries as well throughout the world, we celebrate Valentine's Day. Whether a fan of flowers and candy or jewelry, a romantic dinner out, or a quiet movie night at home, the hearts of millions of couples turn to thoughts of love and romance. Yet, romance has its stumbling blocks and complications. Strained relationships, divorce, death of a loved one, or feeling of rejection all serve to taint the sweetness of this special day for many. My guest this morning, author Julie Arduini, is here to discuss romance and the surrender issues that sometimes surround it. She loves to encourage readers to surrender the good, the bad, and yes, maybe one day, even the chocolate. She is the author of Entrusted, Surrendering the Present, Entangled, Surrendering the Past, and the soon-to-be-released Engaged, Surrendering the Future, the last book in her Surrender Time Christian Contemporary Romance series. Julie also shares her story in the infertility devotional, A Walk in the Valley, and she blogs every other Wednesday for Christians Read. Julie offers a monthly newsletter and invites readers to subscribe to it at her website, julieardouini.com. Julie resides in Ohio with her husband and two children. Good morning, Julie, and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Happy Valentine's Day.
The same to you. It's
Thank
a little
you.
Bit cold and cloudy for our Valentine's Day out here in southeastern Colorado. What's it looking like back your way?
We are known in Northeast Ohio for our cloud cover, so I am so excited to tell you the sun is out. It's chilly, but to see the sun is amazing.
Well, that's pretty neat. Yeah, we've had kind of a little bit of a drizzle and overcast the past couple of days. Although last week we had 82 degrees, so go figure.
Oh, my goodness. I would love that.
Julie, I was looking over your website this morning, and, well, I've looked at it for the past several days, but there is one statement you made that I beg to differ with you, and I can't quote it because I can't find it right now, but I thought you said something about you have discovered that M&Ms do not work well for breakfast.
Oh, the M&Ms don't work well for breakfast? Well, you know, that's why I say maybe one day I'll surrender the chocolate. Because for me, I will confess straight out, I do not know self-control. That really is a problem for me. And especially when I had little ones, it was nothing for me to eat an entire bag, you know, just for the energy. And then I would crash, and then I would still have no energy, and then I'd gain weight and be, you know, angry. So I had to really go, okay, something's got to go here. So for me, yes, the M&Ms had to go for breakfast, unless it's a really, really bad morning. But I haven't, thankfully, had one of those.
Well, I have a really bad habit. I have a little cup. It's probably a 6-ounce cup, you know, a little plastic cup, and it sits in my cup holder in my car, and it's always full of peanut M&Ms. And I buy the bags of peanut M&Ms from the Sam's Club, so I get those huge bags.
Yeah.
Well, in wintertime, I can carry that bag around in the back seat of the car, you know, but of course, in summer, I can't do that. But anyway, because they melt too fast. But one time, I was taking a friend up to an appointment up in Colorado Springs, and that's a fair distance away, so we had to leave probably about 7:30 in the morning, and I reached over and grabbed one of those M&Ms, and I said, you know, you're welcome to some of my candy here. And she says, Pat, you do realize it's not even 8:00 in the morning? It's like, oh yeah. So I do try to watch that.
That's funny. No, I am the worst. I mean, I could eat cake and, you know, say it's fine because there's eggs in it. I can justify anything. But, yeah, it was starting to affect my mental health and my physical health. So I have to be a little more careful.
Yeah, chocolate can be an addicting thing. But, oh, my goodness,
it really
is so good, isn't it?
I know.
Yeah, my My son and daughter-in-law were in the UK when they come back. Sometimes they send it to us, too. They send us big old bars of candy from over there. And their chocolate is very different.
It is.
I can't describe it, but it's really, really good.
Yeah.
Well, Julie, you are an author. We talked about that at the beginning of the show, the introduction. So tell us what motivated you to begin your writing career.
You know, I really think it was just a calling on my life. When I look back, I was never not writing. I can even remember before I knew how to read, I would take out scrap paper and I would just doodle. And I would tell people, these are my stories. And as I went along in school and I learned how to, you know, read and write, I was usually the one called on to, you know, write something up for a newsletter or a newspaper. And I remember getting, you know, a really high grade on a homespun diary. And, you know, the teacher then gave me encouragement, like, you know what, this is a little different than what most students do. I think you have something here.
Were you one of the ones that loved to write the what I did for summer vacation essays in school?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, I would, you know, I'd be working on that in August, you know, before school started.
One of my bloggers mentioned that and said that that was, she was one of the few students that liked to write the summer vacation essay in school. So, so you feel that writing is basically a God-given calling. It's something that you felt deep inside. You felt this was God was telling you, hey, this is what I need for you to do.
Yes. And, you know, I would love to tell you that I responded right away, but, you know, it took me a very long time to really be completely obedient to it. But when I do look back, I just think, oh, my goodness, I was always writing. And, you know, even before I really knew God in a personal way, I was still, you know, on a path where He had created me to write.
Mm-hmm. Well, today is Valentine's Day, as we've mentioned a couple of times, and you like to write romance. So what led you into the romantic genre?
Well, I think it's because, you know, I always had one of those very active imaginations. And, you know, when I do little teachings on writing, I'll say, you know, I never see just an airport or just a parking lot. You know, I am always dreaming up something that, you know, most normal people would never come up with. But what I love especially about contemporary romance is not only can you have a nice escape, but I love to include a message of hope and inspiration. And that's important to me. And I just don't have what it takes. And that's okay to be a Bible teacher or anything like that. But I really think that still readers can walk away and go, I want to learn more about that issue. I will go to a Bible teacher next, or I will, you know, find a church or something. But, you know, I hope that I'm an open door where people can read and just be satisfied in every possible way. It's a good, clean story, a nice romance, and characters that can be friends and encourage them to make some positive changes in their life.
I have read, let's see, one and... two-fifths of your three books. I had read Trusted several months ago, and then I downloaded Entangled on my Kindle. And when I knew that we were going to be meeting this morning and talking, I started to read Entangled, but I ran into a problem. For some reason, it wouldn't download on my phone Kindle. That was really weird. But then I pulled out my old laptop that I used to work on, and it has the Kindle app on it. So I got up to a good 40% of the story, so I know quite a bit about it. So in your books, you dig much deeper than the candy and the flowers and the romantic settings, which, by the way, let me mention, I love your setting because it takes place in the Adirondack country of New York, and that area is very, very dear to my heart.
Yeah.
So anyway, your books deal with a whole lot more than, you know, than just the sweet dates and the stolen, much deeper than that. So tell us what kind of takeaway your readers can expect from especially this particular series.
Yeah. Well, what I tell people, you know, my whole message or brand or, you know, any of those technical terms is that I'm about surrender issues and chocolate. So, you know, the little tagline that I use is that I'm encouraging people to surrender the good, the bad, and maybe one day the chocolate. So that means in my writing and in my speaking and really anything that I do, I'm going to have a surrender issue as part of my message. But I'm human enough, just like everybody else. You know, I've got my weaknesses and things I'm still working on. And chocolate, boy, that's relatable. And so I always try to have a character with a little chocolate fix that I'll always mention in a book.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know, for example, in Entangled that I'm reading right now, your character is dealing with issues of guilt from the past, from her, I don't want to give away too much, from her high school pregnancy. And right now she's kind of testing and questioning her own self-worth in view of that situation and how other people view her. And well, you go ahead and take it from there.
Yeah, that Entangled, you know, now that I've done book clubs and different things, and readers are surprised because they said that was a very hard story to write. I had no idea the emotional toll it was going to take on me. And there were days I just wanted to put it aside and say, you know what, I'm not even going to do this. But now I understand on the other side, because readers are contacting me privately and they're saying, I had no idea I even was carrying guilt until I started reading. And then I realized, boy, I really need to let this go and let God, you know, heal my heart. And I have read that from readers time and time again. And that's what I love is Carla is the heroine in this story, but she's flawed. And she is making more of a mess in her present because she just can't let go of the past. And I think that's something a lot of people can relate to. And It was a good message, hard to write, but I'm so glad that God gave me that story to write.
Well, good. Well, I think you're doing a good job with it. And you've got me kind of, I don't know, I'm kind of, my curiosity is really piqued now because you've got these three men in her life, and it's like, wow, what's going to happen here?
Yeah, it was fun because I am a member of a couple critique groups, and what they do is they'll go through the manuscript and, you know, help edit me out. And they were team, I can't remember, I think they were team Wayne. And he is a character in the book. He is the father of her child and her former high school sweetheart. But then when I would go to the book club, they loved Will, who is her current boyfriend and the most loyal, reliable, just, you know, when you need someone in town to help you out, you know, Will is your guy. But he's a flannel wearing, you know, there's, you know, no real bells and whistles with him, but you can count on him. And it was funny because there were two groups of people thinking two different ways. And they were just as vocal about Wayne or Will. And they really literally had Team Wayne, Team Will. And wanting
funny.
Me to spill who was she going to end up with. And like you said, there's even a third character. So I did. I kept very mum on who it was going to be.
Well, that is really neat. Now I'm going to have to read to the very last page. You're not going to give me any hints, huh?
No, I am not.
And, you know, of course, in the second book, you go into such detail about her being in the cosmetology school. And I'm curious to know, did you have to research all that or did you have some background there, Julie?
No, that was what was difficult about this book is, you know, I would rather cling to the saying, write what you know, and I did not know. And so what I did is my stylist is a good friend of mine, and she gave me her curriculum from when she went to cosmetology school, and her license is in Ohio. So I had to do a little bit of Googling and make sure that, you know, Ohio licensing, if I was getting it accurate for upstate New York. More than that, in my critique group was another stylist, and, you know, if she saw something inaccurate, she called me on it. So I was really thankful for the help that I was given for that.
Well, that's neat, because I'll tell you what, the way you write that story, I'd swear that you had been right there in those classes, you know?
No, I'm not even allowed to cut my own bangs. I'm so bad, so no.
Well, it's funny, because I just got my hair done the other day, and I don't know. I'm not real good about working with my own hair, so I was unhappy. I was happy with it walking out, but I'm thinking to myself, this is never going to look the same again. I just can't do what she does. you know, and I thought to myself, I should refer this book to her. And I think she'd really enjoy reading it because she's got so much detail about the whole profession and the learning and the insecurities that these people feel, yeah. You know. So there's a lot of pressure,
you know, in talking to my stylist, you know, she admitted, you know, that's their calling card. You know, when you walk out that door, that's their marketing. So if it's not a good job, then no one's going to want to come to you for their business. So there's a lot of pressure.
Well, I thought it was interesting even when you talked about the very first, when they had to evaluate how these other people are dressed and which one is the most appealing in their personal appearance as a stylist. And I thought, wow, you know,
we don't take into consideration all the things, you know, when it isn't there, I think as a client will notice, but they do, they have to be very intentional if they want to build a good client list on what they look like and how they do business and how they treat others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, this poor little gal that does my hair, she says, I have a feeling you always walk out of here unhappy. I said, no, it's not you I'm unhappy with. It's me because I'm just so clueless about, you know, doing my own styling and everything. And I said, believe me, it's not you. It's me. Yeah. I'm just unhappy with me.
No, I can absolutely relate to that.
And in the first book, I it's been a while since I read it. I can't recall what the main profession was there, unless it was Carlos being a sheriff.
What it was Jenna was the new girl.
Oh, because Jenna was
from,
the senior center person. That's right.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. So she moved from Youngstown, Ohio, to the Adirondack Mountains with no notice, really. She had one phone interview,
right.
Never even visited the area, and just took the job on a whim. And so she was the senior center director, and that, you know, I most relate to Jenna because I flipped it. I am from upstate New York, and I moved to Youngstown, Ohio, and for 10 years I did work with senior citizens. I wasn't a senior center director, but everyone that you see and entrusted is based on, you know, just beautiful senior citizens I worked with for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because I remember I was back in New York at my sister and brother-in-law's place when I was reading that book, and I said something about it, and my brother-in-law said, well, I wonder what town she's writing about, because I don't know any towns around here where a senior citizens director gets paid.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
In small towns, it usually is
kind of a
voluntary thing, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right, because we had gone down to their senior center a time or two. We went out to dinner. Their group goes out to dinner a couple times a month, and
yeah.
They're very active.
And
I was reading that book then.
Yeah, and I based a lot of it on my own experience where, you know, I lived in a little bit bigger of a city, and so it was a paid position. But there's definitely some Adirondack elements in that senior center as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, Julie, the premise of this show, of course, just by the very name of it, is Step Into the Light. And as I said in our introduction, my guests usually talk about a dark time in their lives and how they were brought back to light through their faith or through someone else helping them through it or whatever. And sometimes I have guests on the show who their ministry is strictly that, bringing people back to light. So do you have a dark time, a difficult time in your life that you would share with us and how you came out of all of the hard time with it that you were experiencing?
Oh, absolutely. So many stories, but the one that I think readers will definitely go, I had no idea, was the reason I can write about surrender issues was, you know, it has to start with me. There's no way I can be an authentic author and speaker if I haven't went through it or still going through things myself. And so for me, it was fear, and that was a major theme in Entrusted. But I went, as nice as I had encouraging teachers, I also had teachers who said, you're never going to make it. Your grammar is very weak, and, you know, you just don't have what it takes. And I took that to heart for decades, not just months or weeks. It was decades. And I played it very safe. You know, I went to school in communications. I did a lot of publicity work. I worked with the senior citizens, fundraising, a little bit of marketing. But when it came, I always had stories in my head. You know, I was always writing in spare time, but I would not share them. And the very thought of publishing them just, it scared me. I was very afraid of what people would think, and I was very afraid of rejection. And so I just wouldn't share anything. And as my faith grew and, you know, God directed me to different books and to sermons and, you know, just prayer time, you know, I started to heal in that area. And I became a communications person for my local Mothers of Preschoolers group. And I could have done that for the rest of my life. I just loved it. But there was a sermon, and I just knew God was speaking to me. And he's like, would you lay this down and trust me with what's ahead? And I knew he meant writing, and I went forward, and I'm like, yes, I will do it. And just that very act of obedience, I really feel was the final thing that set me free. And so I am able to write. I don't have the fear. I mean, it was so bad. I used to just stay up at night and not sleep because I was worried what people were thinking or saying about me. And 99% of the time, they weren't thinking of me at all. I mean, it was just me. And I have had bad reviews, and I have had people say things that are constructive criticism or things that years ago would have sent me to bed crying. And, you know, God has absolutely set me free. And that is, I can't think of anything going from darkness to light, because I really, truly live in freedom. And it was because I surrendered all that to God.
Wow, that's quite an amazing story, Julie. I know I tend to be the same way, in that I should be doing so much more writing than I am. I've always got that feeling of, oh, it's probably not good enough anyway, and I know that's not true.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that, now this is your first series out, right?
Right. Yeah.
So how long have you been published, I guess is what I wanted to ask.
I've had a lot of anthologies and, you know, gift books. I know with guideposts, you know, I was in several. There was, I think, a 12-book series, and I was maybe in a third, maybe even a half of those. So I would say that was since maybe 2007. And then in 2010, I did that. They call it the NaNoWriMo, the National Novel Writing Month. Yep, and that was when I finally surrendered and said, okay, I'm going to do this. And trusted really was the baby that I entered in that November challenge. And, you know, then I went through and revised it. But so 2010 was when I was like, okay, let's get serious about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Julie, I'm going to go to a short break here. I just kind of like to break in and make listeners aware of who they're listening to, because sometimes people on Blog Talk Radio kind of flip through different shows until they come on one that they like, but they don't know what they're listening to. So hopefully we have some listeners who have stopped and listened to our conversation, and listeners who are listening to Step Into the Light right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Our guest today is Julie Author. She has written 3 books, or I guess I should say is in the final stage of that third book. It's a Christian contemporary romantic series surrounding the issue of surrender. One is entrusted, surrendering the present. The next is entangled, surrendering the past. And the third is engaged, surrendering the future. I love the way that they just fall into place like that. Julie can be found online at many, many different places. She has a wonderful website, which is Julie Arduini, ARDUINI.com. But she also has a Facebook and a Twitter, and she's on Pinterest and Google Plus and Instagram. And goodness, you can just find her all over the place. So rather than announce all of those URLs here on the air, I am going to refer listeners to my website, which is Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com. Under the Blog Talk Radio tab on that site, you will find a website and social media page, and there you will find links to where Julie can be found, and all of our guests can be found. So I would urge listeners to please go and check out that page, and that way you can connect with with Julie. Excuse me. Also, I want to make listeners aware that if you came in the middle of the show and you missed parts of it, that it is available on archive. Once again, there's a page on the pattysheen.com website that it's an archive of all of our shows. So we invite you to listen and refer the show to other folks. Julie, you are a Christian writer. How does your faith reflect in your writing? How do we know from reading your work that you are writing from a Christian worldview?
Because right off the bat, you're going to find that my romances are clean, and that's really important to me, because that, unfortunately, is not the norm. And I really would rather focus on the message and really give people hope. I don't want to just give an escape with a darker tone. That's not what I do. I also have, I think, an evolution in my story. You know, there's some kind of conflict or flaw, and you're going to see the characters transform as the story moves along. And absolutely, faith plays a part, where there's a pastor in the series, and, you know, he'll have a sermon that really strikes a chord with one of the characters. So that's important to me.
If I'm not mistaken, didn't I read a scene in Entangled where your pastor is a lady?
Excuse me. Now, they're a husband and wife team. So the pastor
okay.
is a male, but the
okay.
wife generally, yeah, she'll have some kind of encouragement and hope to pass on as well.
Okay. Well, remember, I was trying to read through really fast because I was trying to get through as much of the book as I could before this morning. So I missed that. But I thought that there was an interaction with a lady at the church, and I was thinking it was a lady pastor, which I thought was kind of interesting because I had a very dear friend who was a lady pastor for years, and where my sister goes to church in upstate New York, they have a fairly new pastor who was a lady. So I thought,
awesome.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry I misinterpreted
that. Oh, that's okay, because it's just like marriage. You know, they really are one. And so I love representing a healthy pastor and pastor's wife who are really integral to the change that the characters go through. And I love that I was able to do that.
One of the things that you're on ATFW, I sent you. That's probably where I found you, which is American Christian Fiction Writers. And for our listeners, let me do a little bit of a pitch for Christian fiction here, because Christian fiction used to have a really bad rap. You know, back
right.
in the day, it was very preachy, and it was very, everything was wonderful, and the characters were really having major problems. But Christian fiction has evolved a lot in that the characters do face real life issues. I mean, back, 30, 40 years ago, if you put in your story a lady who had had a baby out of wedlock, oh my goodness, nobody would even accept it. You know, it was just absolutely taboo, you know. And now today, our Christian writers do. I mean, they deal with very intense issues like divorce and abortion and all these different things. So I just kind of wanted to put a little pitch in there for that. And I can tell from the so far in your books, you're not one of the real preachy writers. You know, some people just really hammer a message to the point where it's just too much. But a good Christian author is going to get that message across in a very subtle manner through their characters' actions and just like you say, through the evolution of their character development. So I thought I would throw that in.
Oh, thank you. And it's a hard balance, because I know in one of the reviews that wasn't so positive, you know, that person was disappointed that I wasn't preachy. You know, I think they were looking for more of a Bible study story, and that's just not my strength. And I would rather, like I said before, I would rather be an open door, a seed planter, you know, someone that can just, you know, offer you an entrance and an invitation, and, you know, and you go to the next place and find someone a whole lot smarter than I am who can, you know, get you where you need to be.
Exactly. I agree with you 100%, Julie. It's kind of whet the appetite a little bit for what's out there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've talked a little bit about your own experiences, how they are kind of interwoven into your stories, that you spent quite a bit of time in the Adirondack Country, and that no, you're not a hairstylist.
I am not.
Is there any way that you feel like you relate to your main characters? Is there one main character that you're like, okay, this is a lot of my personality?
Yeah, I would absolutely say people who know me well are like, oh yeah, she's Jenna, and she was the main character in Trusted. And
okay.
What I love about the series is you'll see those characters in each of the books, and their story evolves even if they're not the main character anymore. And so Jenna, you will see her in all three books, but the first one is definitely her story. And
yes.
I am definitely someone that, you know, I don't spend a lot of money on myself. I'm not very high maintenance, but I do like my hair colored and, you know, cut. And that was something, you know, when you move to the Adirondack Mountains, they're really, you don't need a high maintenance hairstyle. You
mm-hmm.
know, especially for Speculator, which is where I based the series, it is literally recognized by the U.S. Census Bureau as pioneer land. It's just not populated with people. There's probably more, you know, wild animals than there are people. There are no traffic lights at all in the entire county. So it's very rural. So that would be a big change if I moved there, because I do. I like to color my hair. I like to get a nice cut. I would not know how to drive on an icy, steep hill anymore. And
mm-hmm.
you need four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive for any Adirondack driving, and I'm certainly not used to that anymore. I can be sassy, and, you know, Jenna's known for kind of putting her foot in her mouth, and I've definitely been known to do that. And like I said, the characters at the senior center, you know, they represent the very best times I had. I used to work for the county, and it was called the Retired and Senior Volunteer Program, which the short name was RSVP. And so I placed seniors 55 and older into not-for-profit volunteer situations. So anything you see in those characters is something I really did live out. I know I dramatized it a little bit for humor, but they taught me so much, and I never had grandparents growing up. And then when I got that job, I had over 300, so it was really fun.
Sure. Exactly. Yeah, and that's another thing I meant to mention about your books. I love the humor that you inject into, you know, into the different situations. It's been an enjoyable series.
No, thank you.
Excuse me, goodness, I got a frog in my throat here. Julie, you are also a speaker.
Yes.
What kind of groups do you speak to, and what do you like to say?
Well, I would speak to anybody who wants to have me. I'm pretty flexible. I've done a lot of, you know, church groups and women's groups, and I'm absolutely open to things like that. Over the fall, I was a Sunday school teacher, and I took on, which was a huge step of faith for me, I took on teaching Uninvited by Lisa Turkhurst, and I injected a lot of my personal stories. And that was a message of, you know, surrendering, trying to belong. And that was so hard for me to do, but it was one of the best experiences of my life. And that's what I do. I will come in with a surrender issue, and sometimes they'll have a topic for me, and I'll just, you know, work around it. But I find for women, they just need encouragement, and they need to know their true identity, because they've received a message that is an out-and-out lie. And when I do teach, I'll tell people, you know, there is an enemy out there, you know, and the devil, and he has a real name he does not want us to know, and it's a defeated one. And the thing that he'll do, because he's so low on resources, you know, he'll use a lie all the time because it's worked so well. And
sure.
So his job is to make us feel like we're defeated. And if I can have one woman just receive that message that they're not the defeated one, then I'm so excited. That's what I love to speak and see in women, is them go, wait a minute, I'm not defeated. I'm done. I'm done living defeated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Excuse me again. I'm so sorry. Goodness. Drink of water here real quick. No, I wanted to touch on one other thing before we leave, Julie, and it's a little bit off track from what we were talking about just now, but it is a part of what we were going to discuss on the show, and that's, you know, the whole concept of Valentine's Day,
mm-hmm.
and how for some people it's not a good day, a day of good memories. For my sister and I, we texted briefly this morning, and there's always kind of a little bit of a cloud over Valentine's Day for us because our dad passed away on Valentine's Day. It's been 21 years ago now, but still, you know,
you remember
that. And I shared with someone the other day that one of the most vivid memories I have of that morning, I was there when he passed, and he passed at home in his apartment up there in Saranac Lake, actually. And one of the vivid things I remember is that a couple of days before, I had bought a Valentine's card that said to mom and dad, and I never gave it to my mom because my dad passed at 7:30 that morning. I mean, just one of the silly things that you remember. And of course, this Valentine's Day is my first Valentine's Day without my husband.
Yeah.
Too, but you know, not only do we experience maybe death of our loved one, but death of a relationship. You know, there's a breakup, or the relationship is very strained, and there's just not a lot of that romantic feeling. My husband, he was not necessarily a real romantic, but we always exchanged we always got a big thing, the chocolate candy for each other, you know, and a lot of times we'd go out and eat a quiet dinner here in town. It's not like in this town we have a whole bunch of places to choose from. We have like two, but but you know, I mean, there's still memories attached to that day. But I was going to kind of suggest to people who don't have anyone on a Valentine's Day to share with, I was just thinking in my head this morning, things that a person can do, like, you know, go to your dollar store and buy a couple of 50-cent Valentine's Day cards and take them to people in the nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to let folks know that you care about them. Or right now I listen to a Christian radio station, and right now they're doing their Share-a-thon annual donation event because they're 100% listener supported. You know, write out a little donation to somebody or to an organization that has meaning to you. You know, there's things that we can do to get that message of love across. It doesn't necessarily have to be a husband and wife or girlfriend, boyfriend or fiance thing.
Right.
You know,
I
mean, love is a very beautiful thing, and we need to express it when we can, in ways that we don't always think about. So I just thought I would throw that little idea out.
No, it's so true. And, you know, it can be a trigger. It can be a very tough day for a lot of reasons, for single people and married people. And, you know, my hope is that people don't tie their entire self-worth on just this day. They are so much more than February 14th. And,
exactly.
You know, that was my hope was, you know, I was a very wounded person as a single person, you know, and I needed a lot of healing that I thought my husband would provide, especially on Valentine's Day. And what I had put on Facebook was I was putting heavenly expectations on a human man. And so, you know, I hope people don't fall into that trap that I did on Valentine's Day, because you just end up disappointed. But if you know your worth, your true worth in Christ, every day will be Valentine's Day for you. And that's my hope for people. Yeah.
That's very, very true. Well, Julie, we're coming close to the end of our time. Is there anything else that you would like to share with listeners before we say goodbye?
Well, I do have a little present that I've been working on, and I wanted to share it with the listeners today, is
good.
That I've done something very unique, and I don't even think you know about this yet. I have put together a devotional featuring the very characters from Entrusted, Entangled, and Engaged. And so I have
a neat idea.
Yeah, it was fun, really fun to write. And so what I've done is for readers, just to give you a sneak peek, I have 14 days that are already available. And all you need to do is go to my website, which you said is Julie Arduini, ARDUINI.com, And there should be a thing on the right sidebar that all you have to do is fill in your name and your email, and that should automatically come to you. And what it is it's 6 days of talking about fear, surrendering fear, 6 days.
Are you there, Julie? I lost you. I lost Julie. I'm trying to get her back here. Oh, hang on a second, listeners.
Hello.
Hey, I lost you. I don't know what happened.
I don't know either.
The last I heard, Julie, and I'm sure our listeners did too, was that there were 6 devotionals on surrendering fear.
Okay.
So
what I did was a total of...
I'm sorry.
Sure,
about
total.
That.
That's okay. It's a total of. I am glad too. A total of 14 days is the sneak peek, and what I'll have hopefully later this week is the full 30 days will be available on Amazon. But I took the themes from the 3 books, Surrendering Fear, Surrendering Loss, Change, Regret, and the Future, and so there's 6 days for each theme. So in the 14 days, I cover fear and loss and then a couple days of change. And not only do you get the character perspectives, but there's one day for each of those themes. I share some of my own stories and my own heart and my own experience, my surrender, so that you can really relate and not only get hope from the characters, but hopefully from my experience as well.
Very good. All right. Well, I'll be sure and put that on my website as well so that people know. And that offer is good for the next 14 days until the 28th, the end of February?
Now, what it'll be is I'll probably keep it on there for quite a while, and what they can do is it's kind of a little sneak peek. It's 14 days, but on Amazon, I'll have available the full 30 so that they can get a month's worth of surrender issues and some daily readings that would last a month. And I'll have that 30 days up on Amazon by the end of this week.
Okay, very
good. That's my
goal.
Wonderful.
Well, that is really, really neat that you thought of it's a neat promotional idea, and it also is something that that will benefit your readers. So
yeah, that's
nice.
What I'm hoping. Yeah.
Most definitely.
Yeah, definitely
right,
creative and unique.
Yes. Well, thank you for sharing that with us, Julie.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, I'm sorry that I don't know what in the world happened. I didn't even have the radio board up. I had my Word file up, so I don't know what. Yeah, you know how
technology
is. So fickle. Well, Julie, it's been a pleasure having you with us today. I would like to reemphasize to our listeners, please check out, I don't have it up there yet, but I will hopefully by this afternoon have all the links to where to reach Julie, and I would encourage listeners to go to Amazon, which I have that link on here, yes you do, where you can purchase her books. I thoroughly have enjoyed the first one, and I am now thoroughly enjoying the second one, and I'm looking forward to the third one coming out. So
thank you.
If you like romance and you just want to enjoy a really good story about characters that have some very real issues to deal with, I think you'll enjoy Julie's books. And of course, plus you get a little taste of the Adirondack country. So
right.
And chocolate.
That's right.
Okay. Well, Julie, thank you ever so much for coming on with us today. It
oh, thank you, Patty. I appreciate that.
To have you, and may God bless you, and you have a good day.
Thank you. You too, Patty.
All righty. To our listeners, in closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. God bless you. We'll see you back here next week, Tuesday morning, the 21st of February at 8 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. Don't forget that the show can also be listened to on and also all of our shows at pattysheen.com, PattySheen.com. Have a great day.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit